That's what happened.
Are these new ones, or were these just ones we missed?
It's 8:32 on the clock, and we will call to order the Board of Equalization for Wednesday, January 17th, 2018. The Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation. Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Thorne, Lytle, and Tiemann and Byers will be gone all day. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove agenda as presented.
To approve.
A little louder, please, Matt.
You even use hand signals?
Motion approved by Bauman. Who made a second?
I'll second.
Second by Hill. Vote. Oh, so we got to change Matt's thing and then put Denny gone all day. There we go. 6-0 in favor. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove minutes of the previous meeting.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Hill, second by Bauman. Vote.
Oh, Juergens.
6-0 in favor. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items.
You second? What? I was going to say, I thought it was Juergens.
Oh, Juergens second?
By Hill, second by Juergens.
Well, he yelled, I whispered.
Oh. Okay. I just figured since he yelled, it was supposed to yell.
He had a little more gusto, didn't he?
Okay. So Hill, second by Juergens is the way it's recorded.
Motion by Hill, second by Juergens.
Okay. Thank you.
6-0 in favor. Comments from the public and request for future agenda items. And seeing none, we will move on. Patty, oh, hold it. We have approve or disapprove tax correction number 3, and we have that going around. This is a homestead that was, they didn't file earlier, and then they did file and was 100% approved.
He's a disabled gentleman, and he was in the hospital for the months of February and March, so we went through the medical procedures of you can get a hardship paper, and
hardship.
So I did all that, so.
And it would be for $1,577.56 that his exemption's approved for. Now, that is, will be reimbursed by the state then. Yes. So it's not that Gage County's out of it, but we need to do all the paperwork.
And basically, this is a little different. They can file late up to July 20th, but this individual, because he was in the hospital for 2 months, when we sent them out, we were able to file a form for him. Thank God, because he was way past everything. But we got everything done for him because he definitely needed it. So. And, yeah, they'll reimburse everything. We just have to do, as we go through, we do corrections to the years because they find out income's different or things have changed. And if any corrections made, then we do corrections so to the states. So, yeah, it's reimbursed.
And this is what this does is this is then he will get credit for that and won't have to pay.
Right.
Yes.
Because he got a statement for the point. We tried to call and everything, but he definitely helped with doing that. So.
Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove the tax correction slip number 3.
Vote to approve.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Bauman. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Patty?
Well, we're basically you can be looking for, I don't know, Jen's doing the personal properties. Anybody got one yet? Personal property schedules are going out. February, all the homestead exemption applicants will be getting their homesteads coming out to them, so they'll want to watch for them. During income tax, you know, they have to do all that. So what I might advise is a lot of things that are getting more complicated. If they do go to an income tax person, take your homestead along. You know, we're trying to help as much as we can, but the income tax has to, you know, if they're going to an accountant anyway, it might not be a bad idea just to take it with them. And they have till June 30th to file for those then, so.
And some of the homestead, they're like this individual, there are qualifications, though. They need to have certain income levels. And then, and then also the value of the house, because you and I have talked about an individual that called and...
There was a gentleman, and unfortunately, income can be approved, but it depends on the value of your house. once your house gets to be over, like, I think it's $208,000 or it was something like that, this gentleman was real close, and the state approved him on income, but his home has become to the point where it's overvalued for the homestead exemption. So there is a limit on that. And we figure that every year. So
for the homestead exemption, they take the house and the property, or is it just the house, or is it, I mean, it's the whole property together?
If it's in the country, it's the house, 1 acre, and the garage. And then, you know, in town now, they've gotten a little bit more strict, too, because things are more going up in town. If you have a machine shed, like in some towns, that allow those to go on, we're taking the machine shed off now. It's just to be make it fair. It's just the house, and, you know, it's kind of hard to always find those, but we have to go through the property record card and figure out what, because there are some towns that allow, you know, buildings like that in town, so.
Then, Patty, last week, a lot of people out in the country got letters.
Right.
Want to talk about that a little bit, I guess? Or?
Okay, basically, with what, once during the equal, or like after equalization, and then the state does some updates on counties, and they come down and they go over with you some of your, what I might say is a deficiency or whatever. And one thing in my county is a lot of the CRP ground has not been identified. And so the biggest problem I'm having and have had in the past is that FSA will not give us the maps, and by no fault of theirs, there's a privacy act. And so I sent out questionnaires, and the questionnaires will ask how many acres, you know, of irrigated, how many acres of dry, please bring in your map. What we've told people is that if they bring in the map, then the questionnaire doesn't necessarily, you know, because the map usually tells everything unless there's something particular about their farm they want us to know. Many people have come back and sat down with the net, called up our mapping system, showed us where they thought, you know, there might be a deep gully or some trees, and a lot of things of what we go through in protest time, but we're doing it now. And then, because between January 1st and March 19th, we can change all of our property values, you know, based on what we see out there now. And so, you know, if they come back, there was a gentleman back there with her another the other day for half an hour showing us, you know, different lays of the land. We can see it on our maps pretty good, too. But we're not always going to know where the CRP is. And that has to be identified, and that was one of the things that I do have quite a bit identified, but not near need to have.
And the one I heard more about was asking about rent prices. People weren't happy about that at all. Are you renting? What are you paying? Are you getting rent? What are you getting?
Right.
And I told people, they said, well, did you get this? And I said, no, but if I did, I wouldn't fill it out. And that's what I said. I said, it's nobody's business is the way I'm reading it. So specifically, why is it ask about the rent prices, I guess?
Okay, basically that is a tool. If all the appraisal classes and everything that we've taken, and I know Myron and John were in when Daryl and Lloyd were in there, we do not do the income approach on ag land. However, it is a mechanism that we can use to see if we're getting to the right values. So to value a property, you use the cost method. You can use the income approach, or you can use the market approach.
On ag ground, you can?
Yes. You can use all those. Though all those approaches can be used to come to a final conclusion. It's a question that's been asked. It's not. It would be nice if somebody would share. For example, this is what I had happen last year. Lady comes in and says my value is too high, and or my taxes are too high. That was the question. Response to me, and I said, well, let's look over your property record card to see if we have it right. So we do the valuation, and we look at it, we divide it out, and I said, well, it's this many dollars per acre when I take it up to market. And she goes, well, that's really not that bad, but my taxes are so high. And she goes, I can't keep up with what I'm getting for rent and paying my taxes. So I said, if you want to share with me, what are you getting for cash rent on your dry land? And she told me, and it was incredibly low. And so I said to her, I said, I understand, but where our values have been in the world of agricultural, especially in those years when things were really good, cash rents were going up. And I said, you haven't adjusted yours, so your taxes are taking more of your, you know, the profit. And so I suggested to her that she go talk to Paul Hay because he collected rents, or he had a way to know.
The university.
Our managers. Mm-hmm. You know, so therefore I was like feeling that And I understand there's a world out there where you can put it up for bid and everybody could bid on it and get more, get less. You know, I understand that. But I do have the right as the assessor to ask those questions. I ask it on commercial, you know, when Daryl comes in here and he may get a protest on some of these buildings. You've seen that in the past. If somebody moves out and the rent is less or if he isn't getting rents, you know, those are things that he's doing right now with commercial properties. When a person rents a house out on a rental property, first thing we ask is, what are you getting for rent per month? So I don't believe as the assessor I'm asking anything. Now, that's all voluntary information.
Right. Did you adjust that down then based on income approach since the rent was low? Did you adjust the taxes down to match that?
Okay.
Or did you ask her to raise her rent to her...
No, I'm saying, okay, basically, I'm using the valuator. I'm using the market approach on...
But you see where I'm going with that. That's the exact argument the gentleman I talked to last had was, if we're going to use income approach, did we adjust the tax asking down to match the income approach, or did we just ask what the rent payments were so that we could increase the rent and still collect the same tax?
No, there's three approaches. You do not... The market approach is on the ag land. We use the market, the sales.
So we do not use anything to do with anything with income approach on the ag land?
Yes, we do, as far as figuring the value per acre. So what I'm saying is, like when Mr. Dickinson, the fee appraiser, he will take a market, like a cash rent. He will multiply it times 20 to 25%. He will take out taxes, and he will see now what a farm is possibly worth. He can use that approach. I can use it to see from a market standpoint what the market's doing. There's three approaches. And like I said, but market is what? Because in the legislature years ago, the income approach was taken out of the equation as far as the way they valued it. Now, it's been brought up to be used.
So you cannot use the income approach on ag land. I just want an answer where I can go back and say this is what it is.
I can use all three approaches.
On ag land.
Just to see if my figuring is coming out to support what I've got on per acre value. But I use all the sales approach and so does every assessor, but that doesn't mean that they don't study the income approach. Does that make sense?
It does. What I'm hearing is you'd like to see the other information, but you're not going to use it in the equation.
It's nothing that I've asked. It's the same questionnaire that's been sent out, and I haven't sent them out since 2010. Other assessors and other assessors, they know, and especially with what's going on now in farming. You know, I'm not doing anything. Nobody's going to see those.
That was the next question. Just, what's the privacy on those? Does that become a public record?
No. And it's just like, Eric, I look at Social Security numbers on homesteads. I look at people's income tax to help them to get a homestead. I fill out their medical. I'm seeing all kinds of things. I ask for your depreciation schedule on your personal property, and if you don't give it to me, I can actually have Roger looking at your records, and I haven't done that. So.
What I told the people I talked to is if you're not comfortable filling it out, don't fill it out. I wouldn't. And I said, when it comes to protest time, though, if your taxes are higher than you want, then use those as tools. Bring in your FSA maps, if you want to bring in rents. But I was under the impression that rents would not lower your taxes at all because we don't use income approach, which I think is still correct.
Okay.
And what you're saying, Patty, is you're using the income from whatever ones want to share it to verify that your market approach is right, but you're not using them on an individual basis for, you know, the land is set based on market, based on land types and land use.
Yes.
Patty, you bring up a good point when you said some people have been coming in. I tell people, you know, if you want to look and see where, a lot of people don't even know what's on their property records. I said, go to the assessor's office or the GIS workshop, Gage County Assessor's website. That's on there. You can go and it lists each class of ground, how many acres you have of that class of ground and the value. I said, you can go in there and look. You can compare yourselves to where you're at with FSA maps.
And the sad part about it is if FSA could release that information to me, we could overlay it and a lot of this could be avoided, but I can't. And I can't find CRP, and CRP's coming out of the program. If it comes out of the program and goes to pasture land, their value's going to go down. If it comes out of CRP and goes to breaking up and farming it, it's going to probably stay the same, you know. But the fact of the matter is, in the last 2 years, I've given discounts on CRP ground because of some of the sales with CRP ground has shown me that it's been less per acre because it has a contract attached to it, you know. So, I mean, I understand where, and I get that people don't want to share those kinds of things with me. But it's better now, and not so much that, but come in now when we've got time to sit down with you and use those maps to make sure. Because I would rather go to the taxpayer, because I have too many people just constantly, this guy's get putting a well down, this guy's tearing up acres, this guy, I don't want the information from Mr. Neighbor over here. I want it from the taxpayer. I want everybody to do, you know, let's work together. Let's make sure your acres are right because somebody's watching, and that's the world we live in now. And, you know, you can't believe how many hours I spend on the phone just because evidently somebody doesn't have anything to do all day long, and that's frustrating too. So I would rather go to the taxpayer and let's work together and let's get it right. And
the other thing is people should feel free to give you a call or stop in and see you, especially this time of year if they have questions on things.
And you know what? 99% probably have been perfectly fine with it. I mean, they may not, and, you know, I tell them right up front, if you don't want to fill that part out, that's fine. We're going to ask it, and you know what? I think cash rents are softening. You know, with our acre values, I didn't raise land last year. Things are, you know, but that only helps me to understand what's going on in the market too. And so it's not anything I'm doing to try to get somebody or, you know, it is what it is, you know. And if all the appraisal classes I've ever taken, that's what I've been taught. So,
Terry.
I, like Eric, must have just caught the 1% because I had many phone calls and many people stopped in.
Huh? How many?
At least 8 to 10.
Okay, but out of
at least, but I have farmers come into my business, so maybe that's the deal. Mm-hmm. More than everybody else, but I've had phone calls too. Asked me, do I have to fill this out? And I said, I don't know. Is it a state mandate? I don't know. I called your office and said it wasn't. Well, what should I do? I said, if you want to fill it out, fill it out. If you don't. Throw it in the trash can. That's my exact words. A lot of this stuff to me, the rents and everything, to me, that's personal. It's like asking somebody else what their income is. What did you make last year? What did you do? That's personal. I don't believe that should be on there. But if people want to fill it out, that's fine. I don't care about that.
Just so you know, though, as a County Board of Equalization, we really need to, you know, I mean, there is things that we should do to make sure that everybody's paying their fair share. And, you know, the cash rent part I understand, but I think it's important that if somebody's got dry land tore up or they've got irrigation they're putting on, you know, I know they're not going to run in and tell me that, but as this board and as myself, I think it's important that we put that on.
I didn't have anybody complain about that part.
Just cash rents.
It was just the, what are you getting off cash rents? What are you paying for cash rents?
And it's just like the depreciation schedules that I asked for. That's personal, too.
It's a little different, though. I mean, sometimes those are negotiated deals. You have long-term agreements.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just one of those. It's a private deal.
Those can vary, but like Patty said, if they protest, that will be one of the things that we normally request is what if you're renting it out, what kind of income are you getting off of it so we can have something to gauge by two or whatever. And stuff.
And if we ever go to the income approach, then what?
We'll be needed.
That would be a can of worms if you ask me.
That's totally you know, it's been
I don't think it'll happen.
Well, no, but it is being discussed.
It's being discussed.
There's discussion on it, but right now it's not the one that chooses. The market value is the one that chooses.
In the past it was.
Yeah.
I mean, In the 70s, we actually had people going into houses asking if you had a diamond ring or not. Do you remember those days on personal property?
Be pretty safe at my house.
Yeah. We seriously had people going into homes back in the day called in personal property, where people would actually go in and list your items in your home. Go back and read into that. It was when I first started working here right before that.
Needless,
I used to put cows and pigs and stuff on a personal property schedule.
Yeah.
And the funny story is one day some guy put half a bowl down on. And I was like, what in the world? I'm a city girl. What's a half a bowl? Well, they shared one bowl.
Well, thank you, Patty, for explaining some of that.
That part of it is...
Yeah. There's been a lot of interest out there, I'll say that, but Gary's got a question.
Roger, Patty made the statement that if somebody fills out that form, says cash rents, whatever, that's not public record.
I don't know if...
Who would advise people not to fill that out if they don't want that to be part of their public record?
Well, it's an agency that's asking for the information. And I would have to say, just on first blush, that anything in your office is subject to disclosure under Freedom of Information Act unless one of the exceptions applies.
Well, just like we have tons of information that's filled out on Social Security numbers, and that's not public record.
Social Security numbers are specifically exempted. I don't know about this. And again, I honestly want to look.
Yeah, I don't know if...
But sorry to put you on
like
the spot.
No, it's a good question.
When she said that, I was going to talk to her later and say, Let's double check that. Because basically, your folder, if I'm doing a divorce action and I want to see some stuff, I can come in and get the folder on Joe Smith or copies of the documents in your folder.
You're not going to get that document in my folder. Not unless you give me something that indicates I have to give it to you. What about an appreciation schedule? That's not public record either. Well, I wouldn't think it would be.
You know, let me look at it, but there's got to be an exemption under the accessor.
I think you can give an appreciation schedule.
I don't.
What do you think about this? Is obviously a call that you'd have to make. Those questions that are more sensitive, can we write something on those sheets when they go out next time that says optional information or something like this?
We can, I guess.
I can see how you're using it, and I don't think you're trying to abuse this, Patty, but you see the apprehension people have with it.
Or some of the questions people have, because I've had that same question, is this going to stay private? You have a guarantee for me? And they brought up some of the questions that Rogers had.
I guess, like even with Daryl, you know, when he gets the cash rents, or not the cash rents, but the rents during the commercial, too, we put them in a different place. So, you know, I'd asked him to be here today, but he was out of town, and Lloyd, too, because those guys, the time when we really get them is when properties go up for sale, and then we're able to get the cash rents real easily.
Well, we need to move on, but maybe next time, or whenever Daryl's can be at a meeting, let's have him back at a meeting and stuff, and those would be some good questions. In the meantime, we'll have Roger, I guess, research this a little bit, too, because I think there's some valid questions that have been brought up here, valid concerns by some of the people, so...
Do you have any idea, like with Paul Hay, is he giving those out, or what's...
What basically Mr. Hay used was the UNL. He compiled it all into, based on the land, you could go out there and say what's dry land, but he was a little more specific than that as far as area and stuff like that. And honestly, I can't tell you if he had, like, a file or just... put the figures together and then averaged it out.
They send out surveys, and based on the returns that they get back from the surveys in past years, they know how to correlate those and come up with numbers or whatever. And Paul did that, I think, about every year or whatever. So
not to bet, I can go on the internet and find out what subsidies are on people too.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, that was one of the things I said with the
U. I guess. Because you can go out and you can Google, you know, and you can find a subsidy on what.
Well,
and I don't think that used to be. You couldn't used to do that.
Well,
you can't
information.
Huh?
It's not private.
Yeah. I think it was always available, but you had to go in and ask for it. And then they had to look it up off of a paper copy. But now it's just out there on the internet, and anybody can see it at any time.
Yep. A lot more accessible.
Yep. That's what one person said. If you want cash rent values, UNL puts that out or on a yearly basis. Now, I don't know how readily available that is or how you have to interpolate that back to your specific area. But
well, my intent was to get the acres right, and you know that question is the one that probably caused the most heartache, but you know, like I said, they don't feel comfortable, just leave it blank. Because there's some people that are willing to share it, which is fine.
Okay. Anything else? Any other questions? If not, we will adjourn equalization at 8:58 on the clock.